And my name is Ronald Donnan, and I am a geohydrologist in the Department of Natural Resources, Division of Geological and Geophysical Surveys for the state of Alaska.
Thank you. And you were in Haines for a few days?
I was. I just came back to Fairbanks, yeah.
Okay. Can you tell me about what you were doing here?
Yeah, so as part of the landslide response, we were mapping the slopes around Haines with a LIDAR system to find other potential failure areas around Haines.
Okay, and what did you find out?
The nature of LIDAR is such that you collect it and then you need to process it before you can see anything. What we have done a similar thing in 2020 as a response immediately after the landslide, but then there was snow on the ground. Mm-hmm. And so in 2021, we came back and we did areas, roughly to about 1,000 feet above sea level, because we couldn't go higher because there was already snow last year at this time. And so we had to come back this year to finish that product. We were lucky enough to have very little snow this year. And we got a weather window Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and we took advantage of that to collect the LIDAR above 1,000 feet elevation.
Okay. Were you able to see anything visually that would have been a reason for worries?
I was not in the aircraft, and the person operating the LIDAR really doesn't have a lot of time to look out of the window because they are focusing on collecting the best LIDAR product that you can. And so I didn't see anything because of that. I wasn't in the aircraft. And the LIDAR person that did sit in the aircraft was mainly busy, looking at data collection. I did get a chance to look at the debris flow at the mile 23 fan. And DOT is obviously, very busy cleaning all that up at the time we arrived. And I found that there is still a lot of debris in the channel. You can see the parts that eroded away, once you get a very muddy, slushy material running in that gully that drains the catchment. You start what's called entraining material. So the slush that comes down is eating up more and more material as it comes down, sort of like a snowballing effect. And we noticed that in the lower part of that catchment on that gully, there was more material entrained or missing from the landscape, at least, what we could see, than higher up in the catchment. And so that's kind of something that tells us that most of that material probably came from the lower part of the catchment, and that there is still a lot of material there. And I know nobody wants to hear this, but it could happen any day again, even though just a large debris flow happened. If the rain comes back in a similar quantity in that particular region as happened, just a week ago, it could happen again. And so that's kind of counterintuitive. Landslides don't often strike in exactly the same location twice because the material that was ready to fall down the hill simply isn't there anymore. Sometimes, there's some more material behind it that now can start moving. But in the case of a debris flow, it's slightly different in that the material builds up in the channel over a long period of time, and then it releases down the channel whenever there is enough water present and material is mobilizing. So that's kind of the situation there. Even though we just had a big one, there's plenty of material left for another big one.
Could you tell whether it might half the material went, or is there still 90% of the material is still ready to come down? Do you have a...
Yeah, it's more like 90% is still there.
Oh my God, okay.
Yeah, I know. And it didn't look like the erosion. Yes, in places it eroded roughly 10 feet in that channel, but it's just very localized corners. And yeah, so basically that channel is sitting on the material that has deposited over, you know, thousands of years. The whole fan itself is made of the material that also ended up on the road. And it's just a natural process, right? So mountain erodes and debris accumulates at the bottom of it. If you put a road there, of course, the road doesn't move with the amount of material that wants to be deposited.
Right.
And so we have to use equipment to move it around and get it into a different location. But that's just life.
Yes. So 23 miles is the same situation as 19 miles, where it's just going to become that recurring problem.
That's correct. And I think 23 miles has been also recurring, right? So
yeah.
Is it 100 years ago, the village of Klukwan was damaged because of that? Mm-hmm. Some people lost their lives. This is really not the end of these two systems, and I'm afraid more systems could be added to that story. Because these catchments, they are very tall, very high above sea level.
Yeah.
And there is permafrost up there, and the frozen ground keeps a lot of this material in place. And as we are losing that frozen ground, it loosens itself and it wants to come down the hill. Unfortunately, that is, I think, the main reason why the problem exists already for, you know, as long as it exists. So.
Do you know what the altitude of the permafrost line, is that the correct term, would be?
We don't have enough supporting evidence to look at that. We call that a temperature lapse rate. Mm-hmm. But I have some evidence of a station that we placed on top of Tuck Chinook in 2016, I believe. And it showed that the mean annual ground temperature was below freezing. And the other evidence we have of this is that on the north-facing side of Tuck Chinook, we see glaciers at the same elevation as on the south-facing side, where the catchments are falling apart and falling off the mountain. And the other thing in the south-facing sides, there are rock glaciers, and these are what we call periglacial features that form in the presence of ground ice.
Could a big slide at 23 mile impact the village of Klukwan?
Maybe. It depends. So DOT is doing a great job of managing that problem.
Yeah.
And I am a little cautious about their current or their new approach. Like, you know, that what they did at mile 19 or 18, they put those culverts in place, yeah. And I think if those culverts work like they do, which is great, DOT might relax their efforts over time to maintain a channel, a proper channel that guides the debris towards those culverts. And if several of these events happen and the channel is filling up, the channel that was made over the last, I don't know, 50 years, mm-hmm. then the nature of an alluvial fan is such that the course of the water, the direction the water will flow, is completely random.
Yeah.
Because there is no channel anymore, and it could just jump from left to right, north to south. And if that happens, the debris could go somewhere else. And then we all know there are houses on the fan, just on the south side, and or I guess that's the east side of the alluvial fan on mile 18. And so these people would be very surprised to see a bunch of debris, you know, flowing around their houses if that material decides to jump the original channel, the channel it has been in for many, many years. But just because DOT was maintaining that channel, and yeah, so that could change.
Is that a change that we could see coming, or is that something that would happen catastrophically?
Yeah, it could happen. It's harder to see it happen. It's quite a hike up to the top of the fan. That would have to be done, you know, regular basis to check on the channel, see how full it is, and what the chances are for this channel to jump.
Is that something that could be done with a drone camera?
Yes, totally.
Yeah.
If you have somebody suitable for that, just check on it. You know, the channel still intact? What are the chances of it jumping? And of course, it doesn't have to jump into a bad direction. It might just go somewhere where it's safe and deposit a bunch of debris over there. But there is always that risk for the next big one to happen, and it jumps at the same time.